Hi, welcome to Think Jesus Cafe, a place where we think about the truth claims of Jesus Christ, the most influential leader in all history. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Let's take a few moments now and think about toxic responses. Today, I wanted to continue taking a look at Jesus' teaching about our taking personal responsibility for the conflict we encounter. It is so easy to blame others, to blame shift, and to ignore our contribution to conflict. But considering our own contribution to any conflict, no matter how small or how great, is always the first place to start. Considering our own contribution is always the first step. Whether the conflict is interpersonal, international, social, or organizational, ignoring our contribution simply makes the problem worse, since the other person, the other party, the other group, is very much aware of our contribution in their own mind. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 and following, Jesus says this, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Here, Jesus is showing us the importance of taking personal responsibility. If you're wrestling with a difficult conversation, a conflict, there are at least 9 toxic responses we need to be aware of. 9 responses that negatively impact progress towards resolution. 9 responses that can be part of our contribution to a conflict. 9 responses that may be the log in our own eye. The log that Jesus warns us about. The first toxic response is criticizing. Many people think they must criticize if others are to improve. For them, criticism is a way of life. The problem is that no one likes to be criticized. Just take a moment and think about how you feel. Do you like to be criticized? No, none of us likes to be criticized. So if we want to have more effective communication, especially in a conflict, we need to find more productive approaches than being critical of others. The second toxic response is labeling. We live in a world of labels. It seems that everyone has a label assigned to them. If we can label the problem, better, if we can label the person, we can fix them, we can repair them, or so the thinking goes. Of course, labels can be used in a positive manner, but that's not the problem in a conflict, is it? Labeling in inappropriate, slanderous, and even unhelpful ways is the problem. Labeling is a tactical, ungodly weapon. It's a tactical weapon we use in a conflict. It can be an aggressive or passive-aggressive weapon we use to defame and belittle other people. What we learn at a very young age is that when we label a person or a group of people using derogatory or even inflammatory names, then we can change or at least marginalize that person or that group. We can make them seem odd, uncool, unintelligent, uncaring, out of the mainstream, and unimportant. But labeling often reflects our own unthinking approaches to life. It's easier to label someone than to get to know them. It's easier to label a person than to expend the energy to learn about them and learn about what makes them tick. It's easier to label a person or a group of people than to take time and sit down and learn more about them and learn why they say and do the things they do. Labeling prevents us from getting to know other individuals. They're no longer a person, just a type. The third toxic response in a conflict is diagnosing. Instead of listening, Some people try to play emotional detective as they probe for hidden motives. They like to dig around in the internal life of a person. They offer their conclusion as to what is really going on in a particular situation. We live in a world of diagnosers. But communication in conflict is eroded when one person diagnoses another for their so-called problem, when that opinion is not even asked for, especially when the diagnosis lacks expertise in the area in which it's being offered. So diagnosing can simply add fuel to the fire of conflict. The fourth toxic response is manipulative praise. Praise is sometimes used as a gimmick to try to get people to change their behavior or as a way to get people to like us. We think that if we praise them, they will reciprocate with liking us and being our friend. But when people realize that they're being manipulated, in other words, when they realize that the praise is being given with ulterior motives, resentment often results. There is resentment for that effort to control or manipulate the person or the situation. The fifth toxic response in a conflict is ordering. An order is a solution to a problem that is sent coercively and backed by force. Coercion often results in resistance and resentment. Orders indicate that the other person's judgment is unsound. Orders indicate that my way is better than your way, and in fact, your opinion doesn't really matter. Orders are sometimes needed and are necessary. For example, in a crisis situation of a natural disaster, someone needs to be in charge and needs to give urgent direction for an effective response. Giving orders in that kind of situation may actually save lives. However, that's not really the issue in a conflict, is it? In a conflict, in a tense, difficult conversation, we are quick to give orders because we want our way. We give orders as a manipulative tactic, hoping that the other party will be intimidated into acting in a manner that is pleasing to us. The problem is that most people can sense coercion. We know when something is being forced upon us with disregard for our opinions. When trying to find solutions to a problem, no one likes to be ordered around by the other person or the other party. So ordering also can simply add fuel to the fire of conflict. The sixth toxic response in conflict is threatening. Threats produce the kind of results that are produced by ordering others. A threat emphasizes punishment if the proposed solution is not implemented. Threats are plainly attempts to manipulate and intimidate others. Threats are unnecessary. Jesus teaches that we are to let our yes be yes and our no be no, which means that we are to be plain spoken and truthful about our intentions. We can calmly state that if X happens, then Y will be the result, without that information coming as a threat to the other person. When we let our yes be yes and our no be no, it is important to follow through on what we say. Be prepared to act in a manner that is consistent with what we said was going to happen. But we need to remember, threats are toxic. The seventh toxic response is excessive questioning. Now, good questions have an important place in effective communication, but some people ask questions constantly, turning a once pleasant conversation into something that feels like a one-way interrogation. As the conversation collapses, these excessive questioners ask more questions and further obstruct good conversation. They have no sense of conversational dynamics. Of course, asking the occasional open-ended question is good, but a steady stream of questioning gives the impression that one person is trying to manipulate the other. Of course, questions are good. They help us explore the other person's point of view and their view of the world, and they help us better understand why people respond the way they do in conflict situations. But criticizing others when they ask a question is also very unhelpful. Earlier, I mentioned how unhelpful it is to criticize others. It rarely brings about resolution to a conflict. But it seems that we are often drawn towards being critical of others when they ask a question. You know what I mean. Person A asks person B a sincere question, and person B responds with explosive anger, asking person A, "How can you ask that?" Or, "See, you ask that kind of question and it just proves you never listen to me." Or, "See, you ask that kind of question and it just proves you are so out of touch." Really? Such condescending responses to a question are inflammatory and unhelpful. It may be that person B is simply asking the question to be kind, to clarify, or to be a better listener, all in an act of humility. But when a person gets blasted with critical comments for asking a question, you can be sure the question asking will cease. So let's quickly review. The first toxic response was criticizing. Second was labeling. Third, diagnosing. Fourth, manipulative praise. Fifth, ordering. Sixth, threatening. Seventh, excessive questioning. And the eighth toxic response in a conflict is advising. Advice giving is rarely helpful. Of course, some advice giving is good. For example, we have medical advice givers. Thank God for that. We have advice givers who specialize in the law. And we have those giving advice on auto repairs, for example. But that's not what we're talking about here. Much of the advice giving floating around in conflict is simply a personal opinion with little substance backing up the opinion. Helping others discover truth is much more constructive than giving them advice on what they should and should not do. Offering guidance that is solidly grounded in Scripture is always good, and pointing people to the teachings of Jesus is often the most helpful course of action. But much advice giving these days is not Scripture-based and comes with a tone of arrogance that implies the other person lacks the capacity to understand and overcome his or her so-called real problem. Many advice givers fail to fully understand the complexity of the problem. We live in a soundbite world. Attention spans have shortened over the last 30 years, and all we have time for is a soundbite, it seems. We don't really have time for a conversation, and in fact, we often are just not interested in having a conversation. Just give me the bottom line, right? That's what people want, the bottom line. But in a conflict, such approaches are not helpful. So we hear a soundbite. We get a hold of a little tiny fraction of information and then jump off to offering our all-wise advice. Of course, with so little background and understanding, the advice giving cannot help but be shallow. As a result, the advice giver may offer advice that is actually inappropriate for a particular individual and his or her unique situation. As I mentioned, giving and receiving guidance that is solidly grounded in Scripture is always good. We might sift through the advice we receive by asking a couple of questions. Is this advice grounded? Is it rooted in Scripture? Is the advice consistent with the character of Jesus Christ? Is this advice something that would please God? Unfortunately, much of the spiritual, emotional, and psychological advice floating around these days is not grounded in the biblical teachings of Jesus and has little to do with pleasing God. The ninth toxic response is diverting. Switching a conversation from the other person's concerns to our own concerns, our own topic, is called diverting. Many people dislike talking about hard issues, such as affection, anger, conflict, death, and their relationship with God. When these topics are being discussed, they will divert the conversation to a topic that is more comfortable for them. Jesus teaches that conflict and our responses to conflict actually rise up out of our own heart. It is a heart condition. So true resolution of conflict will by necessity have to get to the heart of the matter, our own personal heart condition. And for many people, any discussion of personal heart attitudes is very uncomfortable. So they divert. They divert the conversation to work, their favorite song, the most recent sports score, a home improvement project, a community event, anything other than reflection on their own hard attitudes. At other times, people will divert the conversation because of their own self-interest. Perhaps they lack the social awareness and skills to listen effectively, but more likely, they're just not interested in the other person's concerns. They're more interested in being right. They're more interested in protecting their own self-image. They want to direct the conversation in a way that will benefit them most, so they divert. In a difficult conversation, we need to look to the interests of others. We need to hear them out. We need to gain an understanding about what concerns them. When we divert the conversation to our own interests, we just prolong the conflict and contribute little towards finding peace. So, these are 9 toxic responses that you and I need to be aware of in our difficult conversations, in our conflict situations. These 9 responses negatively impact progress towards resolution of the conflict. And these are 9 responses that may be our contribution to the conflict. They may be the log in our eye that Jesus warns us about. So let's stay away from these responses and let's watch our conversations improve. So let's, you and I, live out this teaching of Jesus. Let's first take the log out of our own eye so that we can see clearly, to take the speck out of our brother's eye. Thank you for joining us in the Think Jesus Cafe. We hope today's message has been an encouragement to you. We invite you to join us in spreading a passion to think like Jesus by asking your friends to subscribe to the podcast at thinkjesuscafe.org. If you are visiting San Francisco or if you live in the East Bay area, we invite you to join us Sunday for worship at Gate Tree Church. Service times and directions are online at gatetreechurch.org. Until next time, think Jesus and enjoy life.